the Morning News Express on WFMD, 301-694-9363. 301-694-WFMD. You can also email us, bob@WFMD.com. And the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Mike O'Connor, joins us this morning via the telephone. We're still not coming into the station. I hope, though, next month, Mayor, that might change. But for now, it is what it is. And good morning. Hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend.
Good morning. Thank you. I hope you do as well. And I think we're all eager to get back to something that feels a little bit more like the usual routine.
Yeah. So let's just start. I'm going to start off. Did you do anything to commemorate Memorial Day in an official capacity as the mayor?
Most of the events that would typically happen were postponed. So not in any kind of an official event in any official way, but in my own way, we try and take a moment to remember those who given their last full measure of devotion and service to our country.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so obviously one of the big stories is that the governor has put back in what he called the road to recovery for Maryland and kind of opened up the state a little bit, and the county executive and yourself as the mayor of the city of Frederick decided to maybe go at a little slower pace. So why did you kind of go, you know, in a different pace than what the governor told Maryland to do?
Well, the health department for the city of Frederick is the same health department that serves the county, and the hospital for the city of Frederick is the same hospital that serves Frederick County. And so I agree that it's important to use the same information from the health leadership in the community, and the more cautious approach to the phase one reopening in Frederick County was really driven by some of the numbers that the health department and the hospital were seeing. We don't have a big hospital. It serves the county quite well, but in terms of facilities dedicated specifically to what we're dealing with right now, the concern with some testing that was going on at some of the nursing homes was that it wouldn't take much of a surge in tests that either among either the patients to create a situation where the hospital potentially couldn't handle those residents that they needed to come in, or that the number of staff that might test positive could result in some sort of an issue with the nursing homes being able to adequately take care of the patients that they had. So the cautious approach was designed to just let some of those numbers come in a little bit more. And the county executive had a media briefing last week, which indicated that everything is trending for the city and the county and the other small towns, most of the other small towns in the county, to be fully with the governor's phase one reopening as of this Friday.
The obviously the county has, you know, close to 260,000 people in it. We had, according to reports, the Frederick County Health Department, 1,700 and change when it came to coronavirus, over 1,000 people released from isolation. Most of those, a lot of those, of the deaths from COVID-19 reported in the county came from those nursing homes and assisted living centers. And there would be people who would say, you know, we really kind of shut down everybody because of what was going on in nursing homes. And, you know, businesses are suffering. I've talked to, and I'm sure you have too, talked to a lot of people who run businesses that may not open up again because of what this coronavirus and the shutdown did to their business and their livelihood.
Well, and I think I have tried to be very cautious during this entire time to not cherry pick statistics that would support doing one thing or doing another on that data alone. Yes, it's true that it's the number of deaths in the county are relatively small percentage of the whole. But the people who are getting sick at all ages, and the people who are needing to be hospitalized are being hospitalized at all ages. And the thing to remember about this virus is we don't yet have a credible, effective treatment in terms of something that can be done therapeutically. And it is a virus that remains without a cure or a vaccine. And so those two pieces are naturally going to lead us to caution until we reach a point where we really do understand the pathology of the virus in a way that we're not asking people to unnecessarily take their chances. I appreciate very much the sentiment of folks say, listen, I feel like I can beat it. Let me do what I need to do, and I will take my chances. I appreciate that idea, but we ought to let people make that choice when we have enough information that we're not asking them to risk their health unnecessarily. And so it's been difficult. The business toll has been substantial, and the toll on livelihoods has been substantial. And this is not something that one can pull a playbook off of the shelf and say, well, here's how you deal with a global pandemic. It's not just the United States that's experienced this. This is happening all over the world. We were not alone in doing the things that we did to our economy. They did this in countries all over the world. So we're going to come back. We're going to recover. But much like the nearly 100,000 Americans that are not going to make it back from this, as we speak today, the toll is significant.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we got to take a break. We'll have more with the mayor of the city of Frederick. You got a question for him? Why don't you text it to us at 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD. More with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, next. At WFMD, it's the Morning News Express. On the phone with us is the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, talking about the opening, reopening, the city of Frederick taking a slower approach to the opening. And I got to ask the mayor, I mean, you obviously, I don't know if you're walking the streets of Frederick still and people are coming up to you, but I mean, what can you share with us about what you're hearing from business owners and people who are maybe I don't want to take the slow approach. And I mean, what are their frustrations? What are you hearing from them?
Well, I think that's it. I think it's frustration more than anything else. We're 11 weeks into this now, and the health guidance from the CDC in terms of the proper way to take protections, the businesses that are hearing from are telling me, and this was certainly true as we were approaching the reopening, and there was an eagerness on the part of our downtown businesses to want to do things. They understand that the number of people in stores should be smaller. They understand that people should stay 6 feet apart. They understand that masks should be worn. And they really want the opportunity to just put those pieces in place and give them a chance to bring their businesses back. The other thing that we've heard a lot over the last two or so weeks, and we're having a lot of intense conversations internally about this, is we think that the opening of restaurants and bars is going to come as a phased piece too. And there's a lot of concern by our downtown restaurants and certainly their patrons that the city look at creative ways that we can potentially allow some of that to occur outside of the four walls of those buildings.
Yeah.
So what can we do with sidewalks and streetscapes to create the proper distancing that's necessary, but allow for a few more tables? You know, if restaurants were only permitted to rely on their existing sidewalk cafes, in many cases that might not be adequate. But are there things that we can do with the streets to protect the businesses, to protect pedestrians, bicyclists, the motorists that need to move through downtown Frederick? All of those pieces have to be factored into the calculation, but we're having those conversations because we do think it's important. I think it's important that the city find creative ways to support our business community on the reopening, because it's really going to be necessary to do what we can to help them get back to where they were.
Yeah, I've seen, and I'm sure you have, but because you kind of mentioned it, you called them cityscapes, streetscapes, some towns are doing like a shutdown, almost like an in the street type of thing, and allowing like one night for all the restaurants to put tables out on the street for diners to dine. Is there anything in the works? I mean, you kind of alluded to that. If there's anything in the works that the city is doing to kind of go, hey, we're now back open, and this is what we're going to do. It's going to be a one-day thing. Is there anything like that in the works that you can tell us about?
Well, we're not talking about a one-day thing.
Okay.
So what we're having conversations about, and I expect that within the next day or so, a number of detailed options are going to be made available to the community to weigh in and let us know what they think. We're looking at everything from it runs the spectrum from a full-time street closure of certain blocks of Market Street. That comes with its own challenges in terms of trash collection and delivery services and all those kinds of things. So to potentially limited closings on certain hours or certain days. That comes with its own challenges in terms of staffing necessary to take up and put down barricades and, you know, everything that's associated with that. And then it's sort of a range of options in between, reducing travel lanes, dedicating pedestrian travel lanes. We really want to hear from the community in terms of their thoughts on that approach. I can't tell you I have a preferred alternative at this point because each of the options presents, I think, some different opportunities for downtown. But we would be thinking because a lot of it depends on how long the phase two reopening of this occurs and how long restaurants could be under restrictions for the number of diners they can have in their dining rooms. Frankly, a lot of it has to do with the public. How comfortable will the public be in sitting inside a crowded restaurant? Would they more rather sit, you know, outside at tables that were a little bit farther apart? So we're trying to be responsive both to the needs of the restaurants as well to their customers. Because for the businesses to be able to open up successfully, their customers are going to want to have to come back. And that's the partnership that we have to work out in terms of making sure that folks who come downtown know they're coming into a downtown where we've thought about their safety, we've thought about the things that can be done to make sure that people stay safe, but the business has their lifeline, which are the customers.
We're talking with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, Free Talk 930 WFMD. Have you had anybody who has, I don't want to say, gone against the governor's orders, the city's orders, the county's orders? And if so, what kind of measures did you take against them? I mean, I don't want to call them lawbreakers, but I mean people who just didn't maybe adhere to the governor's orders.
Yeah, not significantly. That was one of the challenges when the governor issued these orders, is he put the onus on local law enforcement generally to be the ones to enforce it. And I can tell you from a Frederick City Police Department perspective, it's simply not within their scope, just with people to be spending their time responding to violations of these executive orders. And so we did handle, I would say dozens is probably a fair characterization, dozens of complaints from residents about people who are in violation of the order in one way or another. If those came into the non-emergency number of the police department, we went out and we investigated. And I think only one of those may have resulted in a citation or a warning. The police department's approach to this, and I think it's the right one, was to simply try and educate folks, let them understand what the orders were, what the requirements were in place. And once they did that, people generally were complying. People don't want to break the law, so to speak.
Right.
As we move towards reopening, this is one of the challenges of when we were all in the same place in the state, every county was doing the same thing, every city was doing the same thing, the authority rested in the governor to do what he did. It was in some respects easier. It's going to get harder as we open up, as we're all at these different paces. We're ahead of Montgomery County and Prince George's County, for example, in the city of Baltimore. And that lag is going to create this unevenness because there are going to be people who are going to say, well, let's go to one of those places where they've got, you know, more. And we're going to have people in Frederick County who are going to say, well, why can't we be more like those places that are going slow because they're concerned still about the spread of the virus and the potential for public health. So we're in for, I think, some challenging weeks ahead as we move through this phased reopening.
We're going to have more. I'm going to give you an opportunity to take a break. Go get yourself a cup of coffee. We've got traffic and weather and news coming up. We'll have more with the mayor, Michael O'Connor, coming up on the Morning News Express, Free Talk 930, WFMD, WFMD.com, and the WFMD app.
It's Frederick's Morning Mayor, Bob Miller, on the WFMD Morning News Express from Frederick's News Radio 930, WFMD.
634 at WFMD. Let's continue our conversation with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor. Mayor, I was looking at some other things. One of the questions is, you know, we're talking about reopening, and one of the frustrations in talking with people who, and I'm sure you've heard this too, is obviously, you know, your big box stores have been open. You've been able to buy shirts and shorts and socks and whatever at, say, these big box stores, and nurseries were open and things, and yet the small businesses had to close. And when I was talking to a couple friends of mine who are small business owners, they're saying, why can they be open and have hundreds of people in them, and I can't be open with 10 people in my store or 5 people in my store? And it really did seem a bit unfair that certain stores were able to be open and people, you know, who, you know, your barbershops and stuff. I mean, I know they have close contact, but say, you know, whatever store downtown Frederick, a dress shop, you know, or something else, that they couldn't. I mean, and I'm not asking you to mention this as the mayor, but it seemed to be a bit unfair.
No, I agree. I think that and one of the things I hope we'll never have to do this again.
Really? Me too.
But lessons learned would be I think that is a lesson learned from this, that there was and some of that was done without knowing how long we were going to be in the state. And I think what we've learned is that the longer you go on, the harder it's going to be for a small business to withstand the pressure. And the efforts to provide aid to businesses did not come as quickly as it needed to, and it wasn't sustained for as long as perhaps it needed to. And the threshold for who ought to be able to get that stuff didn't happen the way it should have. And there really should have been much more effort at the beginning to focus on the small businesses, particularly those small businesses that were closed, as opposed to the larger retailers deemed essential, in large measure because they had groceries.
Yeah.
And, you know, I say this tongue-in-cheek, so I appreciate maybe all the small businesses should have put a milk cabinet in their business, and they could have, you know, said they were a grocery store.
Right.
I'm sure that's not as easy as it sounds from a health department perspective. But
I appreciate how you said that.
But I think that's one of the lessons that we've learned is one of the decisions, and I think it was an effort when the county did its phase reopening, was to understand that it was the small retailers that were probably going to have a better handle on all of the safety things that were necessary, which is why that square footage threshold was put in place. It was to allow the small businesses, particularly on the main streets and downtowns, but not exclusively, to get a little bit of a jump. To let them get back in because they could do all the things that were necessary to create safety for both their employees and the patrons that would come into their establishment. So I think that's a lesson learned, and I would hope that if we ever have to deal with anything like this again, we're smarter about the way in which we do closings, and we're smarter about the way in which we apply the systems that the government has at its disposal to support what is closing down during those times.
As the mayor, have we started calling back city workers yet?
Well, city workers have. I was hoping I'd have an opportunity to talk about some of the positive things that have come out of this, because there aren't very many of them. But I think it's good to point them out. Most of our employees within a couple of weeks were either working in their offices because we had the proper pieces in place for them to do that, or they were teleworking. And so we've not had very much of our workforce that's not been able to do something during this time. Some of our seasonal workers that would have, you know, worked with some of the park programs were in a funny area with those programs not running. They're not doing what they're tasked to do. But nearly every other employee outside of some of those seasonal and part-time folks in the parks department are on the job. And one of the things we found is that teleworking has really been a benefit. Very quickly, we had to stand up a teleworking operation without really having a lot of experience in doing that. And so what we've done over the last couple of weeks now is take what we've learned from, you know, the first 8-9 weeks of this situation, and have drafted a formal alternative work policy that will be added to our employee PNP that will create the ability for teleworking to be an option for more employees with you know, documentation. Right now we're kind of doing it sort of on the fly, We want to systematize it a little bit. We want to give our employees an expectation when they come to work for the city to know that compressed work weeks or alternative work schedules, you know, shifting and those sorts of things, the teleworker options. And so we're writing the policies now to do that. In the absence of this pandemic, this is probably not something we would have done as quickly as we did. And yet I think it's a really important step for the city as we want to be an employer of choice. We want to be an employer whose employees say, I like working for the city. I like the benefits they provide. I like what they do for their employees. It's an important thing for us to be able to, I think, create these opportunities for our employees. And we've been able to do that as a result of what we've seen during this pandemic.
We've got to take a break. We'll have more with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, coming up.
930 WFMD traffic for Frederick and surrounding counties.
COVID-19 affecting us locally.
We've got the news you need and your chance to weigh in
this afternoon from 3 to 6 on 930 WFMD.
It's the Morning News Express here on WFMD. And the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, is on the phone with us. Mayor, we were looking at some things. Obviously, I was on the website, and, of course, Memorial Day is when everybody, you know, the first official day of summer, so to speak. You've got the pools opening and stuff, but the city, of course, doing some of the, you know, the delayed openings and stuff. What are we looking at when it comes to, like, parks and pools and things of that nature?
We hope, if everything goes according to plan, that the pools might be open by mid-June. It comes down to continuing to sort of follow the guidance from the governor's roadmap to recovery and what's come down from, you know, the White House and the CDC about crowds. So the biggest thing that we're thinking about in terms of a pool, for example, is are we going to have to set limits on the number of people who can be admitted? Are we going to have to use timed entries and perhaps run the pool in windows so that we can allow time in between for cleaning of those frequently touched areas. You know, the benefit of our outdoor pools, of course, is the chlorine in the water and the sunshine, which are, you know, positive, but there's still an awful lot of touch points in there that we want to make sure that we're not creating breeding grounds unnecessarily, and it's certainly going to be based on the thresholds of the numbers. But the company that the city uses to that we contract with to manage our pools has been doing some of the early spring things that they would need to do anyway in terms of whether we open the pool or didn't. Some of that work is going on. So we're hopeful that by June, with what the phase two reopening could look like, that we could begin to see some activity back in our parks and rec programs with these modified conditions in place.
Well, obviously, I got to ask the question, have we made a decision on 4th of July party in the park yet?
Well, the 4th of July is not the city of Frederick's decision to make. That rests with Celebrate Frederick. They're the organizing entity. And I would expect that we're, you know, within a time frame now where they would want to let the community know what their plans are.
Yeah, well, it does happen in the city's park. So I would thought
that
it
does, and there's a lot of cooperation and coordination with the city. But any announcement with regards to activities like that rightly belongs with the entity that organizes them.
On a different note, of obviously, I was reading in the paper that you know, a lot of arts communities and stuff and other people are going to start asking for help and money, and there's just not going to be enough money to go around. So, how do you make those decisions about who may get some relief assistance and who may not? And then, of course, obviously, adjustments to the city's budget to be able to pay for all that.
Well, it's really nothing new that there's not enough money. This is that's not a pandemic issue. That's an everyday issue, I think, for most of us. Is there's never enough money for all the things that we want to do. It's difficult. When the city did its microgrant program at the very beginning of this, we did it first come, first serve. That has a sort of a natural inequity associated with it. People who got the message quickly were able to do something. People who maybe lagged and didn't get in time were you know, later in the line. The county has started a program, and they've opened up an application period. And so, you know, all you can do is set criteria for how people can apply and dole out the resources that you have available that you can do. The federal government has applied the same principle in terms of the programs that they've run. And quite honestly, with, you know, mixed success, perhaps, and whether they're going to do more. Is a great question mark, because they're the one government that's got the resource to do something that those of us at the local level can't, and that's that they can go into debt in an effort to try and help people. The city of Frederick can't afford to do that.
Yeah.
We're legally prohibited from doing that, operating in a deficit situation. So that's always going to be the challenge, and I think you have to try and set the best criteria you can and help as many people as you can. The CARES Act funding that has already come in the direction of the county and indirectly towards the city are funds that we're going to be able to use to that's some of where the assistance that the county is providing is coming from, some of that CARES Act funding relief effort. So, you know, we'll do the best we can with the resources we have available, but there's limitations because the faucet is not an unlimited one.
Final question. The lovely Linda and I were driving downtown the other day, and I noticed that it seemed like Market Street was starting to become a bit bumpy, maybe starting to fall apart a little bit. Is there anything in your plans to maybe resurface Market Street?
I would have to check with our streets folks and find out where where any kind of full depth, anything that we would do with Market Street right now would probably be done in a sort of patch, you know, try and hit the tough spots. If you tell me exactly where you were, we'll go out and take a look at it. And see if it's an area that needs to be spot patched. We did that up at, South Market Street by MSD, a couple of years ago. There was a real, the ruts in the road become such that it becomes teeth chattering when you're driving through there. It's like rumble strip unintentional. I don't know if there's a plan for a full repaving of Market Street. It doesn't strike me as a project that I've seen in our CIP for the next couple of years, but that doesn't mean we won't make spot fixes as necessary.
Mayor Michael O'Connor, appreciate your time.
Thank you, Bob. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you, sir. You too. It's the Morning News Express here in Free Talk 930 WFMD.
930 WFMD traffic.